So let's start with you, Charlie. How are you today?
I'd like to thank you for the invitation to come on to your show today and to discuss some of the great work undertaken with the funding we receive from the EU and the great work with our partner organizations, the charities across the country, that's helping individuals and families. So thank you very much
No
for
worries at
asking
all.
me on.
Yeah, no, I mean that's what it's all about. We want people to know about these amazing projects. As I said, we're going to be talking to Micheál in a little bit and finding out about the Aisling project. So, do you want to start off by telling us about the FEAD and what it's all about?
FEAD FEAD, it's the fund of European aid to the most deprived, and this aims, the funding will help people to take their first steps out of poverty and social exclusion by addressing their basic needs. The fund itself actually ended in Ireland here on January this year, and we're moving to a new program under which is the Employment Inclusion Skills and Training Program, and that's under the European Social Fund Plus.
Right.
But I suppose to just give you a wee bit background on the FEAD itself, the FEAD program, it was worth to the EU, it was like 3.8 billion was available via that fund, and then each member state had to match their funding allocation with a minimum of 15% from national funding. So like for Ireland, the total value of the fund was 26 million, with 4 million of that coming from the Irish Exchequer.
That's crazy, isn't it? When you talk about that kind of amount of money, it's bizarre the amount of money that's being floated around in these EU funds.
Yeah, well, look, we've been working with approximately 150 charities over the last number of years, and this money has been distributed through materials and food, and it's massive the impact that it is having, around the country.
Yeah, so I mean, what sort of charities, what kind of people receive the funding, receive money from the fund?
Yeah, well, look, we've partnered up with around 150 charities nationwide. These charities are already working in the area. They're already assisting people. So we're basically supporting them with food and materials. So like we would be working with charities that are dealing with the homeless, children and families in low-income households, could be victims of domestic violence, suffering from addictions, disadvantaged members from the Roma and traveler communities, basically any vulnerable people, that are without income, accommodation, and we're trying to assist the most deprived in society.
So, I mean, how does it work? Do you find these charities? Do the charities come to you for help, or how does it generally work?
We've been working with the same charities for the last kind of 3 or 4 years since approximately 2016. So how it works is we're supplying food and material. So they're the two main elements of the program that we have here in Ireland. So with food, we have partnered up with Food Cloud. They're our primary partner organization. So they're responsible for procurement of food, storage of food, and then the coordinating collection from the charities. Food Cloud have three warehouses around the country, Dublin, Cork, and Galway. So they will have the food products, and then the charities can come there and collect what they need. The food that we are supplying is, it's basic, non-perishable, easy to transport and store. Some charities have a small room where they can keep this stuff. Some charities might have a big, open space. Some might be only able to collect monthly, weekly. So we had to get, products that would be easy to transport and store for them, and non-perishable,
Yeah, so I mean, do you in your kind of the aspect of your job in this kind of thing, do you interact with the charities? Are you kind of like, would you be interacting with the charities?
Absolutely. Because like for the charities, we've been dealing with them regularly. Like we actually, for this funding, we have to report back to the EU in relation to the number of people we are supporting. So we need that information from the charities. So we would get at least quarterly information from charities. So we are constantly, you know, in contact with them. We go out and visit them, you know, to make sure everything's okay and stuff like that there. So yeah, there's a great working relationship there with them. You know, with like charities are, they're delighted with this funding and they can do so much with it, you know. And so there's a great working relationship with them there, you know.
I mean, have you found that, I mean, has there been a lot more demand, would you say, in the last sort of few years? I mean, just the way society is at the moment, have you found that there's been sort of more demand for, well, we hear all these stories of food banks and the help that's available to people.
I suppose during COVID, what we would have found that because of the public health guidelines and, you know, the age profile of some of the members of these charities and that there, and the requirement of them to stay inside and stuff like that there, that some charities during COVID had a reduced service or had to close altogether, you know. So, but then on the other side, then we would have had, you know, there was over 50 charities that came to us over during COVID looking for, they needed extra products, you know, and extra, you know what I mean? So I think overall, you know, it stayed broadly the same, but that was because some charities weren't able to operate at the same service that they were previously. We would be finding now, again, some charities are saying that, you know, there is an increase out there again, you know, currently. But we monitored that, you know, and you know, where there is a need, like we do try and support them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we keep hearing about the, you know, the cost of living is just keeps rising and rising, and you know, there's people obviously out there that need that little bit of help. You hear all these stories of people, you know, do you pay for heating, or do you feed yourself and your children? It's, you know, it's crazy in this day and age that people would have to prioritize between.
Well, I know, looking for our program, what we have aimed to do is, you know, to have a nationwide availability of the support. So when I say we have 150 charities, they are spread out right across the country, you know what I mean? So we are trying to be in a position to support people everywhere, you know. Even like the types of food, like we're supplying, you know, pasta and rice and beans, cereal, porridge, you know, stuff that people need every day and use every day. Like, alone, like there was last year, there was like over 1,200 tons of food distributed. Wow. You know, like just having a look at some of the figures, like there was 190,000 packets of pasta and 100,000 packets of porridge.
Yeah.
Over 330,000 tins of beans. You know, so
wow.
it's magnificent. You know, like that's getting out there. You know, I suppose look at another big element of what we do is a school stationery kit under the material side of the program. So like since the program has commenced, we have supplied approximately 170,000 school stationery kits.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So last year we put out 45,000 school stationery kits, and these school stationery kits are, we have three different kits, two for primary, you know, from junior infants to second class, and then third class to sixth class, and then a secondary school kit. But like, you know, the types of, you know, these are copies and pens and hardback books and science books, calculators, and like the feedback we get on them alone and the difference that it makes to families, you know, is massive, you know.
Yeah, no, it must be so great. Do you know what I mean? To know that you're making a difference to people's lives must be really rewarding in what you do.
Yeah, look, as I say, like we would find where charities would be saying that families are starting to worry about going back to school in July.
Yeah, yeah.
And for them to be able to say, you know, don't worry, we'll have a school stationery kit for you, so don't worry about that aspect of it. And so it is, it's excellent that we can do that, you know.
Yeah, no, it's less for them to worry about, isn't it? I mean, you know, you hear of all like school uniforms, the cost of school uniforms these days is ridiculous. If it's one less thing for families to worry about, you know, just make their life that little bit easier.
Yeah. We're happy like with that there, like the school stationery kits, like we would be, you know, supplying them to children who were saying direct provisions, accommodation, and the emergency orientation reception centres. And then I suppose, look, we also have been working with social inclusion, the Department of Education, and supplying them to the children involved in the National Traveller Roma Inclusion Strategy Project.
Yeah.
You know, so it's excellent that we can get involved in programs like that there and projects and be able to support them, you know.
Yeah. I mean, how important do you think funding is in general? It's amazing EU funding, the funding that we're getting from the EU. How important do you think it is for Ireland?
It makes a big difference. Like, I must acknowledge, look, at the charities are already in the communities and they're already making a difference.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is support them by giving them, you know, materials and food that they can make it, you know, an additional difference, you know. So yeah, the funding is massive, but I think we have to acknowledge the work that the charities are doing in the areas already. Like, without them being our partner organizations,
yeah,
and working with the community and being able to identify the people that need this, it wouldn't be possible, you know.
Yeah. No, you're doing amazing work, Charlie, I have to say.